Blog Talk Radio.
The law office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the warrior lawyer, presents The Michael Van Tool Show with jazz poet Michael Van Tool. Attorney Johnny Hawkins, also known as the Warrior Lawyer, is a nationally recognized personal injury expert also specializing in serious trucking and auto-related accidents, police misconduct, civil litigation, and probate law. Call the Warrior Lawyer, Johnny Hawkins, today at 248-567-9990. The Michael Van Tool Show is produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, LLC. Experts in business support services dedicated to building your customer base. Call 248-516-8300. And now, Cav Tech graduate, former banker, community worker, published author, and recording artist, Michael Van Tool.
Good morning. Thank you for waking up with us today. The Michael Van Tool Show is produced in cooperation with Community Highlights and Detroit Spiritual Ambassador Missionary Hattie Humphrey. The Michael Van Tool Show is brought to you in part by the law office of Warrior Lawyer Johnny Hawkins, Ram Insurance and Financial Services, Brenda Davis, the realtor that moves you, an associate broker at Century 21 Town and Country Real Estate, and Hallway Industrial Cleaning. The Sunday morning team is here. Let's go down the list. Our community activist, home care advocate, and our political analyst, Henrietta Ivey. Good morning, Henrietta.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Sunday morning team. Shout out to Missionary Hattie Humphrey always. And good morning to the beautiful people of Detroit.
Kimberly Batchelor Davis, author, speaker, our lifestyle editor. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning to our amazing Sunday morning team. Looking forward to talking with Missionary Hattie Humphrey later today. And good morning, Detroit.
Great. And from the International Police and Fire Chaplains Association, Chaplain Stephen Cathy. Good morning, Chaplain.
Good morning to you, Mike. Good morning to the amazing Sunday morning team. Shout out to the missionary. Amen. To hear from her today is exciting. And hey, good morning to Detroit City.
Absolutely. And I'm actually going to be with Missionary later today. She's not going to be on the show this morning, but we have plans to meet this morning. All right. And then, of course, prophetess, minister, songstress, our devotional leader, Evangelist Christy Laster Andrews. Good morning, Evangelist.
Good morning, Michael Van Tool. Good morning to our amazing team. And good morning to everyone that's listening on this beautiful day.
Great. And now that we've got all the introductions of the Sunday morning team, let me introduce my guest this morning. His name is Ernest Little, Democrat for State Representative District 8 in Detroit. He's here. He's going to be talking in a minute, but good morning, Mr. Little.
Good morning, everybody.
Great, great. All right, let me just say a few things before we go to news and weather, and then we'll talk to candidate Ernest Little representing District 8. You know, it covers Detroit, Ferndale, Hazel Park, Highland Park, and Madison Heights. You know, to look at this on the map, it's so strange, but we're going to be talking to him in a few minutes. I want to thank the Warrior Lawyer, Johnny Hawkins, for supporting the program since 2019. He is one of the top national black lawyers. He is part of the multi-million-dollar advocates forum, which means that he's won seven figures for his clients. He also handles probate, guardianships, conservatorships, estates, creation of living wills. Call our attorney, Johnny Hawkins, 248-567-9990. And if you would like your company to join the list of companies supporting Community Highlights with Missionary Humphrey and the Michael Van Tool Show. Of course, you know we were on this morning on the Praise Network. Call 248-516-8300. Missionary is busier than ever. Just in the last couple of days, we went out for breakfast. We went to record the show Thursday morning, and we're going out to church today, too. I'm trying to keep up with her. That's all I'm saying. Trying to keep up with Missionary Hattie Humphrey at 94 years old, let me tell you.
Amazing.
All right, we got a lot on tap this morning. news, weather, our candidate is here, and then we want to hear from the Sunday morning team. We'll be right back after these messages.
Have you or a loved one been seriously injured in a motor vehicle-related accident? Waste no time and make your first call count. Call Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer.
Hello, I'm Johnny Hawkins, and I can assure you that no one can out-service me. How do I know this? Because I care. Listen to me. I'm only blessed in what I do so that I, in turn, can be a true blessing to others. That's it. That's how this thing works.
For a free telephone consult with Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, simply call 248-567-9990. That's 248-567-9990.
Whether you're buying your first home or planning for retirement, Ram Insurance and Financial Services have got you covered, literally. We're a full-service, family-owned and operated, independent insurance agency that offers all-encompassing services for our clients. Here, we work with different companies to keep you protected. We operate through holistic planning, keeping you safe through all of life's milestones, from auto, home, life, and health, business, or retirement services. It's all about you.
At Ram Insurance and Financial Services, it's about relationships, not transactions.
Call Brenda Davis now at 248-909-9711 and get started on your new home purchase or sale. Brenda D. Davis, the realtor that moves you. Whether you're relocating to Michigan from another state or country, moving across town, upgrading, or downsizing, Brenda Davis from Century 21 Town and Country Real Estate can make it a smooth, hassle-free experience. Our award-winning offices and the outstanding personal service offered by Brenda Davis and her professional sales associates guide you through the maze of infinite details surrounding the purchase or sale of your home, helping you become familiar with a new area, finding the right home for your family, arranging financing, and settling in a timely fashion is our priority. Assuring that your relocation is a pleasant experience is our ultimate goal. Brenda Davis, an associate broker, is a 21-year career licensed realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors, and a board member of the North Oakland County Board of Realtors. Call Brenda Davis now at 248-909-9711 and get started on your new home purchase or sale. Brenda D. Davis, the realtor that moves you.
And now, back to the Michael Van Tool Show, sponsored by the Law Office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer. Call today, 248-567-9990. And now, Michael Van Tool.
All right, we're back here. The team is here. In the news this morning, first of all, happy Memorial Day weekend. It's a big travel weekend. Airline travelers are not only facing sticker shock this Memorial weekend to kick off to the summer travel season, they're also dealing with the pileup of flight cancellations. More than 1,500 flights were canceled as of 9:50 last night, according to flight tracking website FlightAware, that followed more than 2,300 cancellations on Friday. Delta Airlines suffered the most among U.S. airlines, they're saying, is due to weather and some control room issues. I don't know what that's all about. But not only are the airlines having issues, rental car companies sold off a ton of their cars as COVID reached us over the last couple of years. And as the travel has returned, though, the companies have not been able to replace the cars fast enough because of problems with global supply. Shortages of key parts like microchips have slowed new car production across the board, and the rental industry has been particularly affected. I've heard where people have been delayed, flights been postponed, and then they get to the rental car company and there's no cars available. Nightmare in some cases. And one more note about this travel, at least 40 Hertz customers are facing prosecution and possible jail time when they say their only crime was driving cars they had legally rented. These customers are suing Hertz over what they claim is a widespread pattern of false arrests, that they're demanding that the company put a stop to the prosecutions against them by withdrawing stolen car reports on the cars they were rented and that were returned long ago. So Hertz is having some issues with reporting cars stolen. If you don't take your car back, according to Hertz, on time, they report it as stolen. I think that's a little bit.
That's a little much. Yeah.
A little bit intense there. Yes. The decision by police to wait before confronting the gunman at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas, was a failure with catastrophic consequences, experts say. I say it too. When it was all over, 19 students and two teachers were dead. While the 18-year-old Salvador Ramos was inside adjoining classrooms shooting students, a group of 19 law enforcement officers stood outside the classroom in the school for roughly 50 minutes as they waited for room keys and tactical equipment. Can't they just go in, knock the doors down, and go shoot the guy? Unbelievable.
Well, let me ask you that real quick.
Yeah. Please.
You are absolutely right. They should have immediately, whenever you go on a scene, the objective is to go and isolate the threat or subdue the problem. And no, they did not isolate that threat as fast as they should have. So you're absolutely right. They should have went in there and isolated immediately. Don't wait for nothing.
It's one more part to this story, and I felt so sorry for those families that were standing out there, and the police had to put some family members in handcuffs and restrain them because they wanted to go in themselves. I probably would have been one of those parents too. I would have been so angry standing out there as I'm hearing this guy shooting my kids in the school.
Yep.
And they stood out there for 50 minutes. Whoever, any of those police officers, they need it on their record, but the supervisor needs to lose his job over that. The supervisor. Why are they? That's their job. Their job is to go in and get the suspect. The guy has,
that's right.
It's a war. It's a war. It's a war.
Mm-hmm.
The guy had all this bulletproof vest, Kevlar on. It's a war. So you go in there and take him out. That's your job. If you don't want to be a police officer, law enforcement, Chaplain Kathy, you know, you work with them all the time. If they don't want to do their job, then don't wear the uniform.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But let me add just one thing, too, if I may, Mike, is that policy and procedure in during their training is what I believe, not giving them an excuse. However, they do have policies and procedures that are in place, and I think that that's what needs to be changed out, the way their policies and procedures are.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what stopped them from going in. And society, they don't care about that. Only thing they care about is that they were there and they didn't go in. But there was something that prevented them from going in there. So I wanted to add that on behalf of law enforcement as well.
Yes. All right. I just want to go around the board.
Over there just a little bit. So are we saying that when they arrived, because I'm just as new to me, and I, you know, when something that tragic happened, I can't follow it all the way through, especially when there are lives lost with children and innocent people, just kind of just deal with my mental. But the question I wanted to ask is, so when law enforcement showed up, he was still actively shooting and they couldn't enter the building? That's what you're saying?
He was still actively shooting.
He was in the classroom by himself with the kids, and the police were in the hallway in the school waiting for almost an hour.
And he sat outside for 12 minutes.
That's a procedure. Wow, that's definitely a policy that needs to change. And that is horrific that a policy was put in place. Now, maybe that policy was put in place because this particular area where people...
No, they have the policy. The policy is in place. They were supposed to go in, but the supervisor on scene told them not to go in. So he needs to do his job. Yes.
Not only that, this gunman was shooting for 12 minutes outside before he went inside of the school. Why was the school not locked down? Every school that I know of, and I only know about schools in Michigan, but they locked the doors. How did this guy get in the building?
A teacher went out to get something out of her car, and propped mm-hmm. the door open and left something in the door so it could be open, and that's the door he went in.
Okay.
And then I'm going to tell you something else, and I'm going to say this as well. They should be responsible in a sense as well. Because I'm sure that there's a policy and procedure that says that you shouldn't prop that door open.
I'm sure
so
it is.
So because
right.
that door was propped open.
One more thing. There was a school security officer that was not present at the door when he came there. They called him, and he had to come from somewhere else. His job was to be there. They did have a school security officer, but he wasn't on the scene. They called him, and he arrived. But by that time, the kid was already in the classroom shooting. Yeah.
So many human errors that could have been avoided, and lives could have been protected. I'm just bringing new light to some things. It's like, wow. So this was
the more you hear about it, the more the angrier. I tell you, I watched an interview on CNN with one of the family members, and they were so, I don't know, maybe they just, the shock of it is still, resonating. They just haven't come to grips, but they were a little bit, seemed to be a little calm. And all I know is that I don't think you would have that calmness in Buffalo at the top supermarket, and you wouldn't have that here if something happened here. My thing is, if something is wrong, you better talk about it. You better make your voice heard, and you better say it loud and protest and be angry. Because if I would have been on the weekend, I would have been angry, and I would have let everybody know I'm angry. I want all of them to get fired.
That's true. Everybody
was your kid. Yeah.
Anyway,
okay, let me get back on track here. Okay, we're going to do something a little bit different this morning. I'm going to go to weather next and then talk to our candidate, and then we'll loop back around and hear from the Sunday morning team. So, Kimberly, what's the weather this week? Let's welcome Kimberly Batchelor Davis with this excellent weather report.
All the time.
Excellent. So, good morning, Detroit. It is 65 degrees. It is bright and sunny. Today, we are going to have a mostly sunny day with a high of 83 degrees and a low of 65.
Lord, you got some help
tomorrow,
on here today.
On the holiday, I need some help up in here. It's going to be a high of 89 degrees. Praise the Lord.
Oh, you got praise the Lord.
With a of 69. On Tuesday, it will be sunny and beautiful with a high of 91 and a low of 70.
Beautiful.
Amen. Now, come on, somebody. On Wednesday, we'll have scattered thunderstorms with a high of 87 and a low of 58. On Thursday, we will have continued scattered showers with a high of 74 and a low of 56. Friday, the sun returns. It will be bright and sunny with a high of 75, a low of 55. And on Saturday, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 76. And a low of 55, and that's the one.
My Lord,
I love
you.
It.
Got your cap on here today.
We love you today, Kimberly. What a beautiful,
thank you so much,
beautiful weather report.
Thank you.
All right.
You're welcome.
Great. All right. Our guest this morning, Ernest Little. He's running for State Representative District 8, which covers Detroit, Ferndale, Hazel Park, Highland Park, and Madison Heights. Of course, the primary is on August 2nd. And I just want to welcome Mr. Ernest Little. I'm going to give you the mic, but I just wanted to know, your background, why you decided to run, what's important to you, what's your district. Two people can talk a lot, and there's politicians and preachers. So you got the floor. Ernest Little, welcome to the Michael Van Tool Show and the Sunday Morning Team.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ernest Little. My mother was born in Pontiac, and my father worked at Chrysler. From a historical view, most people know that Chrysler had a headquarters in Highland Park that moved out to Auburn Hills. Over time, I graduated from Wayne State University, and from there, I worked at the Stroh Brewery, and after the Stroh Brewery closed down, I had employment with the City of Detroit. At the City of Detroit, I worked myself up from the ranks, and I became a building housing inspector. I've worked for over 26 years. Today, I'm at Cosmopolitan Real Estate Services, and I'm also a mortgage loan originator at Rocket Mortgage. Over the last many years, you would say, I had this whole thing about housing. And it finally cultivated in me wanting to run for the position of state representative. People asked me to run for state representative because they knew of my background. I come from the 3rd Precinct. I'm the president of 3rd Precinct Police Community Relations, and also I'm a board member of the Hamtramck Drug-Free Community Coalition. So I've worked with many different people. This district is a very large district. It runs from Wayne State University all the way up to Troy, and actually it stopped at 14 Mile. Most people know about at Sears and stuff where Oakland Mall is. And whoever gets this seat has to have diversity. I have that diversity. Having graduated from Wayne State, I've been integrated into society on both levels, a diversity level. And that's why I was chosen, because the other candidates and stuff, they have these same attributes. However, they don't have them to the level that I have them. And as a result, I've been endorsed by the 13th Congressional District Democratic Party. Also, I have the original Eastside Slate endorsement. And Wayne County Commissioner Martha G. Scott has also endorsed me. As a result, I'm not only a coalition candidate for Wayne County, I'm also a candidate in Oakland County. And because I have an Oakland County background. And when you look at the whole picture, you see that the Woodward Avenue and I-75, and once I get to Lansing, if elected, I would like to serve on transportation because I know that's the big hub in my area. And another thing I'm going to make certain is that we have constitutional policing. I've never gotten a ticket going to from Detroit to Pontiac or even going through Madison Heights or Hazel Park. And that in and of itself must have been a miracle, because my family's been in this area basically over 100 years. And my family actually started from Pontiac about 90 years ago. So I have I'm that person. And as a result, that's why I'm asking for everybody to vote for me that lives in those communities. Detroit,
well,
Madison Heights. And Hazel Park, yes?
I wanted to see if any of the Sunday morning team had questions, any of the team members have questions for candidate Ernest Little, District 8.
Could you repeat all of the cities that you're covering now under District 8? Hi, this is Henrietta.
Okay, Madison Heights, Hazel Park, Ferndale, Highland Park, Detroit.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
And one more question. I apologize. With the new districting, how easy or difficult has it been reaching your new constituents?
Because of my diversity and everything over the years, I actually worked on the Dequindre Bridge when they first built it. So I've been going out to Madison Heights and Hazel Park for years. My mother-in-law lived in Royal Oak for over 15 years, my late mother-in-law. So I have a connection with Oakland County that's beyond reason for a person from Detroit.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay.
One question. What changes do you plan to bring or offer or for that particular district, those particular districts, per se, or communities or areas that the candidate that's already in office hasn't already done?
Okay. There is no incumbent in this race. This is an open seat.
Okay.
That's another rationale that I'm even in the race, is because somebody has to represent the diversity of the community. This community comes from the poorest of the poor to the richest of the rich. It also has educational from the Ivy League all the way down to somebody who didn't quite get out of high school. So I have to represent a whole swath of individuals and people.
Okay, and with that reference, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask Candidate Little, what are some of the things that are important in those cities? Do they have anything in common, or will you have to approach each community with a different plan? What's that community like? What are those collection of areas like? What do they have in common in those communities?
We all have safe streets. So that's one of the major things I have to fight for each and every of the four communities. The police level in Detroit is constitutional policing. When you go to Highland Park, there are only about four police officers on payroll. Then after you go to the other cities in Oakland County, they actually have police departments. So public safety will always be an issue that I make certain, and that the state troopers basically start patrolling Woodward a little bit more than they have, and ask for a special appropriations for that area. Highland Park at the present time has a situation near Davidson where the people who live in certain communities, like at the YMCA or YWCA in the old days, they kind of just kind of be out there on Woodward. I mean, if you drive down Woodward, you'll actually see this for yourself. And as you go into the other communities, you'll see that the safe streets is going to be there. But then we have another issue. We have this marijuana situation because it's legal now. In Hazel Park, they actually have a place where you can actually smoke marijuana. But for myself, coming from drug-free Hamtramck, I will actually think about harm reduction and think about programs, because it doesn't stop just at marijuana. It goes on to other harder drugs, and some people get strung out on real heavy drugs, and they can't get off, and so they need treatment that's going to be better than has the 12-step program. So they need some type of harm reduction. And as for education, I believe the best education for all the children, and for health care, housing, and mental health, we have to fight for affordable, those situations. And we need to repeal the taxes on retirees and promote women's rights. At the present time, what's going on, most of us know about the Supreme Court ruling that's about to come up, and how the government's been trying to fight that on a regular basis. But this ruling is just not, that's just the tip of the iceberg, the pro-choice situation. Because if they take that right away, women won't have the right for their own bodies and other situations. And it took, women have only been voting for about the last 122 years. I mean, 102 years, I'll correct myself. And you look at the whole situation, it's there and it's got to be resolved. And it's got to be resolved first at the state level, and I think the governor's doing a pretty good job of trying to do that.
Mr. Little, why did you say, you know, you have your own profession and housing, I think real estate and everything. What was it that caused you to sacrifice your time and your resources to run and be a state rep? What caused you to do that, to make that big decision?
At this stage of my life, I need purpose. That purpose would be to serve the public. I served for over 26 years, as I stated, for the city of Detroit. I've also served the housing industry for the last 10 years. And I know that housing patterns are changing. The people who live in Detroit will one day take over the whole city and live in Madison Heights. You can actually see, if you look at the whole history of the housing industry, you'll see that Detroit, Highland Park, and Hazel Park were redlined, whereas Madison Heights was that new community, the suburban area, and which well planned out just like the city of Troy. And as a result, things have changed. From a historical viewpoint, if you remember, Southfield didn't have diversity. Eventually, Madison Heights would have total diversity also because of the ages
That's
of
true.
The housing.
That's true. That's true. These communities over time, like Harper Woods. Harper Woods has changed. Demographics in Harper Woods have changed. I got called over to do a career day, and I thought I was going to go to a predominantly white school. I did not realize that Harper Woods had changed, and now it's primarily African American. So over time, yes, and the influence of the city of Detroit is going to continue to grow as the years go on. I mean, people, you know, I don't have to tell the Sunday morning team that there's so much value in this city. And we all got, a lot of us got fooled years ago when they were all running out and leaving, we thought that they were leaving never to come back and that they felt like this place was worthless. But as we know, they always knew there was wealth in this city, the wealth in the architecture, the park, the river. There is so much available. I went to a reception in Indian Village the other day, and the houses are gorgeous over there. I'm sure you all have been through there before. So there is so much value, and I'm glad that we have our own candidates that are interested in taking the lead, because we cannot lose any more of this city. There is wealth in this place. Before we wrap up, Ernest Little, just wanted to say anything that you wanted to say that we have not covered this morning.
The only thing I'd like to say is this. Think big, vote little. Thank you.
Are y'all still there?
Great. All right. Thank you so much. We just changing seats here. Ernest Little, thank you so much. And we're looking forward to hearing more and more about you as the weeks and days go forward. And as we said, the big day is August 2nd, which is the primary. So thank you so much. All right. Sunday morning team, let's go down the list. I just want to hear from you guys now. Henrietta Ivy, go right ahead.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. So, you know, it is election season. We are gearing up, getting everything together. Candidates are out in the community. I've been part of a lot of community cleanups and meeting up with a lot of community people, talking to them about what's coming elections. Getting people geared up to, you know, to vote and to be registered to vote. We had an amazing cleanup this weekend over in, the community. The name is on my tongue, but I can't even say the name. But anyway, myself and two of the candidates that I'm the advisor for were out in the community. Hugh Steele was out there. He's running for state rep, District 5, House Rep, District 5. We had Danielle Hall, who's running for state rep, District 6. And, of course, one of my favorites, Commissioner running for the new House, District 5, Mr. Andre Otis. All of them out there. It was just an amazing weekend, and I'm just more than happy being proud of watching these young millennials do their thing and bring some positive, forward-thinking, progressive thinking ideas to the table, and I'm looking forward to getting them to that win.
Great. Thank you so much. And Henrietta, you are always out there. I regularly run into Henrietta out and about in the community. And I know that you couldn't let a campaign season go by without being a part of it, either yourself or you're working for a candidate. So thanks for keeping us in the loop and up to date. And you know, make sure you bring them on the show. So at some point between now and August, you know, we got to have them on. All right. Kimberly Batchelor Davis.
Good morning. So I have a great feel-good story for us this morning. Students learn at graduation, the Snapchat founder paid off their college debt with more than $10 million. Graduating seniors at an LA art school were overwhelmed with joy when getting ready to make the walk in cap and gown. They heard they would be receiving more than just a diploma. The 284-strong class of 2022 from Otis College of Art and Design would have their entire student loan debt paid off by the college's most successful alumni, Snapchat co-founder Evan Siegel. Totally an undisclosed record-breaking gift of more than $10 million, Siegel's donation was added to by Cora Beauty founder Miranda Kerr, Siegel's wife and partner in the Siegel Family Fund. It changed my life and made me feel at home. Siegel, who took summer classes at Otis during high school, told the graduating class, I felt pushed and challenged to grow, so surrounded by super talented artists and designers, and we were all in it together. Ever since the federal government decided to start guaranteeing student loans in 1965, and universities realized that it wasn't an unemployed teenager paying for their education, but the entire United States taxpayer base, tuition costs have far outpaced any other metric of inflation. Otis can cost $50,000 for a liberal arts degree. But some of the recipients of Spiegel's generosity had racked up $70,000 or more. With less than obvious career paths and the lingering employment difficulties of the pandemic, some seniors remarked it was a huge weight off of their shoulders. Student debt weighs heavily on our diverse and talented graduates, said Charles Hirschhorn, president of Otis College of Art and Design. We hope this donation will provide much deserved relief and empower them to pursue their aspirations and careers, pay this generosity forward, and become the next leaders of their community. My mom was crying, graduate Farhan Bala Farouzi told the LA Times. They were so worried about it for me. I had so much debt. If it's really all gone, it puts me so much ahead. I have a scripture for us. Proverbs 18:16. Giving a gift can open doors. It gives access to important people.
Great. Thank you for that inspiring story. You know, it's nothing worse than graduating from college and having this debt hang over you for the rest of your life. That is, it's like an anchor that's weighted down, and it's always a good story to hear from some assistants like that with college costs. Thank you so much. All right, from Greater Pentecostal, Evangelist Christy Laster Andrews. Good morning, Evangelist.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Let me just say that I am open to receiving gifts. If anyone is feeling generous on the line this morning, I just want to make that be known. I'm not, you know, funny acting. You know, I'm not too proud. You know, none of that. So just want to say that out loud.
Give it to me. I'll take it too.
You know, some people want to act like they have it all together. But no, I don't have it all together. So I'm open to receiving gifts. Thank you for that story, Kimberly. I just have a quick scripture this morning. And I've been listening to everything that has been said and the different shootings that have been happening. And I read something where it said over 200 mass shootings have taken place in 2022. And we haven't reached 200 days for this year this far. But the scripture that I was meditating on this morning was Romans 8:35. And it just talks about who shall separate us from the love of God. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. And then it talks about us being more than conquerors. And Paul lets us know that I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. As we experience these terrible events in the United States, as far as our children being killed by people that need help, as far as our senior citizens, there were more senior citizens than younger people in Buffalo that were killed. It makes you feel some type of way. It almost brings you to the point. I was speaking to a young lady the other day, and she wanted the person to truly, like, suffer, and she wanted to see him suffer. If she had a gun herself and had access to him, she would have managed and handled the situation on her own. And so while we were talking, we were just kind of talking through the process of our feelings towards all of these incidents that are happening. We have to be careful not to allow hatred to enter into our hearts. Now, we may feel some type of way, and we want justice to be served, and we want it to be served well. but we have to be careful about allowing hatred and bitterness to enter into our hearts, because that doesn't affect the person that has done the thing, but it affects us. So vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. That's where I have to leave it. Because
yeah.
There are other ways that we can take action. There are other ways that we can do something about what is going on in our world. So don't let anything separate you from the love of God, especially not hate creeping into our hearts, bitterness creeping into our hearts. We just want to make sure that we're in right standing, and then we want to make sure that justice is served in light of all that is happening in our world. So those
that
are
is
my thoughts.
So true. So true, Evangelist, and it's important. Because you're right. Unless you are going to do something constructive with that emotion, go to Congress, author the new law, do something. But also, don't let that anger build up, because it does affect you and the people around you. It tears you down. There are some people and families are not talking to each other for something very petty that happened 20 years ago, and they're still not talking. And that is building a deep divide between them and their relative, but it also is it's tearing them apart. The person who is angry is being torn apart inside. The longer they're angry, because it just stays there and festers.
We don't want to take it lightly, Michael. The things that we experience, they're very hurtful, and it is a process of getting to the point where you can forgive, getting to the point where you don't hate, getting to the point where you can be in that person's presence and not want to retaliate. That is a process. And so I don't want people to think like, oh, just get over it. No, it's just not that simple. Sometimes we need help. We need counsel. We need prayer. We need everything, all avenues of support that we can find to get to a place where we're not holding that hatred. Because if you watch the shootings and the things that are happening, and then you go to the grocery store and someone looks like the person that did the shooting, come on, we feel some type of way. Can we be honest? Yeah. Not, we feel something. Or you're driving on the freeway and someone cuts you off and they look like the shooter, or they look like someone has done harm to people.
Aren't we all scared now when some strange person that never been to the church comes in and you turn around and look, and all of a sudden now, how many times
we're on it?
Churches that were like nervous now when a new, at first we used to welcome the new members. Now we kind of see who they are, what they've got on, what they're wearing, what their demeanor like. We're so skeptical and wary. It's scary now when a new person comes in. We want to welcome them, but now we don't know. We just don't know.
Your coat? May I put your coat in the coat room today? You're not coming in here with a trench coat on in 90 degree weather.
Right.
Yeah.
And
we're
those,
amen.
Those ushers that
we're gonna take that vote today. We are not doing this today.
Yes. And those ushers that take their job so seriously, some of them take it very seriously. Well, now you can put it to real good use and be able to watch and discern as to who's coming in, what kind of car they came in. You know, it's unfortunate, but now we've got to think like that. We got to make sure that the collection, the money, is not sitting out too long either. There's so many things that are different now. We have to be careful.
And it's really sad that these places, like the places of worship, a grocery store, schools the kids go to and have fun with their friends every day, we have to now look at that with scrutiny. And this is a definite sign of things that have changed. And the mindset of people are vicious. That you will go to a safer place as a school where children are running and playing and having a good time, building their social skills. They get up in the morning to go see their friends. Mothers, fathers, grandmothers go to church to hear the good word. And, you go to a grocery store just to grab a bite to eat for dinner, and somebody has the nerve and the audacity to walk in there and take your life. Nothing is sacred no more. We are in some very
critical spiritual times right now.
That's right. We recall some of the places like Top Supermarket, Parkland, Columbine, Robb Elementary. Those are not places that we should. Those are scenes of war zones. They're war zone scenes now. But all right, well, let's go to Chaplain Kathy before Chaplain.
Let me say this. I thank every last one of you guys for this subject, for this topic, for this beginning, because this is our beginning. It's a beginning for all of us to now understand what's going on. There are great cultural issues. The cultural issues is the fact that I was raised a certain way. I was raised in a household that taught me how to handle my anger. I was raised in, and there's folks that was raised in a household that fought out their anger. So that's the thing that we should really focus in on, the cultural differences that are amongst our people. And also truly being able to understand forgiveness. What does forgiveness really mean? Well, it means what God says. When you go to God and ask him for forgiveness, he will throw that, what you're asking for, in the sea of forgetfulness. See, forgiveness has something that comes with it, and it's called forgetting. Some people say, well, I forgive you, but I won't forget. Well, you didn't forgive me for nothing. You didn't forgive me for nothing. So what we need to do is that we need to go to God in our personal time and space and ask God, God, show me how to forget what I have forgave. I wish I had just a little help on here.
Yeah,
Father
amen.
God, I hurt. It hurt so bad what happened, what was said, what all of that. But Father God, I just need you to show me how I could toss this thing like you do into the sea of forgetfulness. You see, because fear, right, and let me add this, fear is a false emotion appearing real. I can prove it
amen.
To you. You go to see the pond. You say, I'm not getting on that ride. I'm scared of that one. But guess what? You find out one ride later that you seven times have been on it because you conquered it, that fear. So there has to be a teaching on fear. You know, and when you look at that fear, you know that you control that and you stand alone. I'm not going to hold you long, but you stand alone. You don't need a Y and an O in order to be you. You are you. All by yourself. See, we were taught, we came into this, well, we were taught that in order to even be you, we say, how you spell you? You say, Y-O-U. How are you going to say what I asked you to spell and then spell it? So we have to get rid of the things in our lives that we don't need to that has been placed there to practically identify us. And we need to start with you. You is not Y-O-U. You is you, all by itself. I wish I had a small piece of help on here today. God bless you all. God bless you all. God bless you all. Cultural understanding, true forgiveness, and what it really means. And again, in some cases, true forgiveness will mean, you know what, I'm going to put myself in this position. But I'm not going to allow that to happen again because I forgot that. I'm going to put myself, yes, you can still come around, but I'm not going to allow what you did to happen again. And I'm not going, and you cannot. And let me add this last piece here. I know I'm preaching long-winded, because I'm getting ready to close. 2 hours later, still getting ready to close now. So I know, you know what I'm talking about? So just let me add this last piece, because it's about particularly about the prodigal son. What I love about that prodigal son story in the Bible is that when the son came back, the daddy did not remind him of his shattered past. I wish I had some help on here.
Amen.
See, that's one of our problems, man. We responded to the prodigal son story based on what we were reading instead of really looking at it and receiving and understanding what it was we actually read. You see, and so we got to stop reminding folk of their shattered past. We got to stop reminding them of the things that we claim we forgave them for. I wish I had some help on here. God right. bless you. I'm getting ready to close for real now.
That's his second close. Okay, we count.
That's it. God bless you, man. God bless you. God bless God you all.
Thank you, Chaplain. You were really in the middle of a sermon there. We appreciate that. We need to hear from we need to hear that this morning. You know.
Bless you, man.
And I just appreciate the fact that, you know, we're living in a time when we God's presence is here. You know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm not a Bible scholar like a couple of you here, you know. And
okay,
I don't
there you go, y'all. There you go, you're revving up.
I'm
a poet.
Introduction.
I'm a poet, not a preacher. And sometimes I don't know where the scripture is, honestly. I really don't. And this is one of those times, but I just know that there was somewhere in the Bible, it does talk, just let me get this out, there would be no, we would be disconnected. God's presence would have left. There would be no scripture, no radio preachers, no gatherings of Christians, and, you know, no radio ministry, all that stuff. It's going to be absence. And I, you know, I'm glad I'm living in a time where we have that, because we can get up and go to church. Some countries you can't do that. The Bible is like basically illegal in many countries. You can get arrested and thrown in jail. You know, I'm glad that we're in this time right now. Somebody was saying something.
I was saying go to jail or be executed for believing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So much. Lord. Yes. All right. Well, we've got about 8 minutes.
One more. Can we have somebody else?
Did anybody else have any more comments on that before we move on?
No more.
Okay.
Let's just keep the family prayer. This is just weighing on the nation, and we all really need to stay rooted in prayer. Because this is the devil at work, and he is busy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. I like that. I like that. I like that. Greater is he that is in you than he that is of this world. All of my help comes from the Lord. Look to the hills for which cometh thy help. Look to the hills. When you look up on that hill called Mount Calvary, the land of the Golgotha, the land of the skull. When you look up on the hill, you'll see help. You'll see help up there. You'll see salvation up there. You'll see your deliverance up there. It's up on that hill.
That's
amen.
Right.
Amen. Well, amen.
Well, let me start wrapping up, and I want to wish you all a happy Memorial Day weekend. It's already starting out great. It's a beautiful morning this morning. But I did find something close to what I was looking for when I said that I'm glad that, you know, even though we have these things that occur now, God's presence is still here. I read a poem this morning on the Praise Network. I wrote this poem called Yesterday. I wrote this about 20 something years ago, and it's still valid today. You know, God's presence can, he left and departed from Saul. The Spirit of the Lord left Saul. I mean, I think it's, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's Samuel, chapter 16, verse 14, something about the fact that, you know, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. If I'm not mistaken, you know, it's around there somewhere.
Yeah, if you're not. Yeah, it's around in there somewhere. Yeah.
But
y'all hearing, it's around in there somewhere.
When you're headed down those dark paths, you know, whether it's drug, alcohol, sexual immorality, vain and selfish behavior, God will withdraw his spirit. And you know, this world, it's coming to that point. He already said he's going to remove his spirit. He's done it before. in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14, and let me hurry up and wrap up because I'm almost running out of time, and this is for some preacher to do, not for me. But the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. Oh, that's what I'm saying. Okay, let me just share this with you. I wrote this 20-something years ago, and it's still valid today. Where was love yesterday when all this hate came? Sons and daughters still die here on the front lines. And isn't it strange that this secret war is staged and reported daily on the front page? Why must families endure such pain, a lifeless body for a mother to claim? Where was love yesterday? An implosion deep and wide sending shockwaves through many lives, the cousins, uncles, and the aunts. Where does all this hate come from? A piece of our life dies too whenever a loved one is removed. We must learn to love one another the same way that God loves you. Where was love yesterday? It was asked of Jesus in those days. Remember, he has been this way, anguish deep, praying for relief, unbearable sorrows beyond belief. Jesus died to set you free. Where was love last week? And where was love yesterday when all this hate came? Love was here, meek and mild, in the eyes of a little child, and near the Bible on the shelf, a bewildered, shell-shocked father knelt. He was looking for love within himself. Where was love yesterday? Love was here. I want to thank you guys for being on the program this morning. I love the Sunday morning team. You guys are the best. Go out. Amen. Make it a great day today. Spend time with your family. Have some barbecue. And let's reminisce and remember those who have left us. God bless you all. Have a great day today.
God bless you as well. You
God
too,
bless
sir.
You all.
Thank you.
God
Happy Memorial Day weekend, everyone.
Thank you.
God bless. Stay safe.
God bless.
God bless.
You know, there are some mean streets out there. There's some bad people out there. Sometimes you wonder, where's the love? Where was love yesterday? Where was love yesterday? Where was love yesterday? When all this hate came, sons and daughters still die here on the front line. And isn't it strange that this secret war is staged and reported daily on the front page? Why must families endure such pain? A lifeless body for a mother to claim. Where was love yesterday?
You've been listening to The Michael Van Tool Show, brought to you in part by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group. Build your customer base now. And the law office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the warrior lawyer. Call Johnny Hawkins, the personal injury expert today at 248-567-9990. Thank you for listening.
Everything is going to be all right. Hold your head up high. Look up to the sky.
All right.